Thank you very much. Let me pray before I read our passage today. Father God, thank you so much that we can gather together to worship, praise you, listen to your word. Please help it to change our hearts, our minds, our souls, that we might become more like your son Jesus and recognize how wonderful you are. Amen. The passage today is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 to 10. This is on 1173. 1173. It's Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 1. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. This is the word of the Lord. So what is a Christian? Many may ask this question, what is a Christian? What makes Christianity, Christianity? Are not all religions the same? Surely, if we do good things, if we live a life of doing good, I'm better than the other person, I do all these good things, and being kind, that's what counts, surely. So what's the need of Christianity? Maybe you have heard in the past that if we do good things, we can earn God's favour. If true, then why is Jesus important? What is Christianity? What is being a Christian? I believe this will be answered by our passage today. And my first point, the first point we see from this passage we just read, is as Christians, we were dead in the way we lived. As Christians, we were dead in the way we lived. We see that in this letter, Paul writes to the Ephesian Christians, he says that the way they used to live meant that they were dead. Verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. They were dead. We, you, me, were dead before we became Christians. It's a weird phrase, isn't it? That they were dead. Did we die when we became a Christian? Are all non-believers today like zombies walking around as dead people? It can't mean we were dead physically. If you're here today and you're not a Christian, then you know we're not physically dead. So what does it mean? Do you see the words in the text say, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world? So they were dead when they lived a certain way. So this can't mean that they were physically dead, because it says they were living a certain way whilst dead. But what it means is that the way in which they lived meant that their relationship with God was dead. The way which we as humans live is naturally against God. It means that spiritually we are dead. We have no interest in God. We want to live how we want to live. We don't want to live under God's rule. But being dead is irreversible. The state of being spiritually dead, we can't change. It's as if our body is dead to God. If a body was lying there in the church in front of you, it can't do anything you say. You can tell it to do things, but it can't do anything. It's unresponsive. Just like that body, that's our state in response to God. We are unresponsive to God. All of us are naturally like that. This phrase means that spiritually the Ephesian Christians were dead. They were cut off from God. Their relationship with God was dead. There was nothing they could do because of their transgressions and sins. Transgressions, sins, these are words from different angles of one and the same reality. Our disobedience to God, our againstness, our hatred, our diversion from him. When we don't consider what he wants, when we think about what suits us best, me or those around us, but don't include God, that is us rejecting him. Sinning or transgression are rejecting God. As we sometimes say in Sunday school, it's shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Verse 3, all of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. What were we like before we were Christians? How did we live our lives? What is it like to be dead to God? How we put ourselves first, how we wanted all the money in the world, how we so desperately wanted to be better than the next person, how we wanted to have better, the better electronics than the next person, the better car, the better phone. We wanted all the girls, all the guys. We wanted that massive night out every single day. We all rejected God. This means that we were all spiritually dead. And there's nothing we can do. If you're not Christian today, this means that you are spiritually dead. It means that you don't have a relationship with God. Being dead in our sins means that there is no way out. There's nothing we can do. Being in a state of deadness means that there is no way of responding. We were dead when we followed the ways of this world and the rule of the kingdom of the air. We were dead when we followed the ways of the world and the devil. That's what the kingdom of the rule of the air means. When we chose to reject God, we're following our own ways and listening to the devil's lies and following him. Without Christ, when we weren't Christians, if we're not Christians, we are dead because we were gratifying the cravings of our flesh. This means that when we wanted something, we did it without a thought. We naturally sought after what we want and what we desire, not what God wants or what he desires. And because of all this, we deserved wrath. Those that reject God and live for themselves deserve God's wrath. This means God's anger, God's punishment. Being spiritually dead leads to God's wrath. It means that those who reject God are cut off from him, and they will die, and they will be punished. That is what those who reject God deserve. That is what those who follow the cravings of the flesh deserve. As Christians, we were dead in the way we lived. But fortunately, it doesn't end there. This is actually one of the best, most enjoyable passages I've come across because of the big but in the verses. But, verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Because of God's love, because God is rich in mercy, he gives that which is not deserved. We as Christians are made alive in Christ. This is my second point from the passage. Christians are now alive in Christ. Christians are now alive in Christ. Just as Christ rose from the dead, we are made alive with him. He died and rose again, and we too are alive now in the eyes of God because of the resurrection power. He rose from the grave, and we too have risen with him spiritually. So that today we are alive because of our sin, because of our rejection of God. We are as good as dead. But with Christ, we are alive when we put our faith in him. We were dead in our rejection of God, but as Christians today, he reaches and pulls us out of our awful, sinful state and makes us alive. When we were dead, we couldn't do anything ourselves because we were dead. But in Christ, We can be raised from being spiritually dead to being spiritually alive. But why? Why are we saved? If we're dead and there's nothing we can do, why would we be saved? It's in the text. It's through grace, the grace of God. Grace is a gift that we don't deserve. We were dead because of our rejection of God, and it's by his grace that we are now alive. Imagine a time when you were naughty as a child and your parents gave you something you didn't deserve. That's a tiny, tiny form of grace. But grace here eclipses any kind of gift you don't deserve from another person. This is ultimate grace, complete grace. This is a gift you could never have deserved. This is amazing, amazing grace. We are raised with Christ, verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Jesus died and he rose again. Because of this, as those who trust in him, we are raised too. This is because of the vast, wonderful resurrection power. Jesus rose from the dead, shattering the idea that death is the end. He triumphed over it. And through his resurrection, through him moving from death to life, as those who trust in him today and yesterday and tomorrow, we are raised too. We are no longer in a state of death but life, living in sin, rejecting God and following the ways of the world and the devil, and not following God means you're dead. But through Christ, if we trust in him, we are made alive. Verse 7, in order that the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. This is so that we can see how wonderful God is. God loves his people so much. He loves them so much so that his people can marvel at his perfect kindness through Jesus for eternity, forever. We are made alive with Christ to marvel at God's kindness forever. And you know what? It will never get dull, because this amazing grace, this undeserved kindness, is like nothing else. It's incomparable. It's the greatest thing that could have ever been done for us. It's so wonderful that we will be in awe of what has been done forever. We were dead and there was nothing we could do. Now through Jesus and the power of him rising from death to life, we can have a relationship with God. Think to that example I used earlier. If you had parents who loved you so much and they raised you well, even though you were a terror as a child, yet they still raised you and loved you, you appreciate them for your whole life. You don't slap them in the face and respond badly. You appreciate them. And this is on a substantially grander stage. The difference is here that we rejected the perfect, all-loving God, yet he, through his undeserved kindness, still brings us from death to life. Forever, we will be in awe of what he has done. This is the most wonderful thing that has ever happened. Christians are now alive in Christ. So, is that where it ends? What does this mean for us? Many people might say, that's great, now I can carry on living life. Is that how we're to respond? Well, the text actually tells us, as Christians today, it tells us what to do. Now that Jesus has resurrected, now that he has brought us as believers in him from death to life, do we do what we want? And the third point from the passage today is Christians are alive to live for God. Christians are alive to live for God. You may have noticed from the beginning verses of this passage that Paul writes in verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. In which you used to live. This is how the Ephesians used to live. This is how we used to live as Christians. Now that we have been saved and we have been brought from death to life, we are to now live life for God. Verse 8, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. As we have seen already, it is by grace that we are saved. Grace is the undeserved kindness of God. We couldn't do anything to be saved. And that's what these verses are saying. We were dead in our sins, and that is where we would have stayed if it weren't for God. It's not by work, so we are not saved. We are not brought from death to life because of anything that we have done. We're not brought from death to life because we've been good. We're not brought from death to life because we helped someone across the road. We're not brought from death to life because we're not as bad as the other person over the road. We're not brought from death to life because we speak well to people. We're not brought from death to life because we give to charity or give to the poor. We're not brought from death to life because we serve at church. We're not Christians because of anything we've done. We couldn't do anything. We were dead. But we are brought from death to life through the grace of God and having faith in this truth. We trust that God is the only way from death to life, and that his undeserved kindness, his grace, is the only thing that is enough. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. Isn't this wonderful? Many religions and people will teach that if we live a good life, we'll be okay. But we'll go to heaven if we live okay. That's not what the word of God says here. And to be honest, we could never be good enough. We always sin. Whether you're a Christian or not, you know that you probably have bad thoughts every single day about people, or you think bad things. We'll never be good enough. The only way for us to be saved from going to hell is by God's grace. Isn't it wonderful? Because when you stop and think, is there ever actually a day when we don't get angry or we don't get annoyed? I think you should answer no. There isn't a day that passes like that. This is why grace is so, so wonderful, because without it, we are rotten to the core. So does that mean we can do what we want, as we asked a second ago? No, we live for God now. We do good works because we are God's handiwork. Verse 10, we're created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are made alive in Christ, taken from death to life, so that we can do good works. We do good things now. We treat people well. We live for God. We serve the church because of what God has done. My example I used earlier regarding the child who gets something from their parents they don't deserve. If that's you, your response isn't to slap them in the face. It's to show thanks in any way. You don't deserve that present. You want to show your appreciation to that person who gave you that wonderful gift that you didn't deserve. If we're not living for God before we were Christians, and now we have received this gift of grace, this wonderful gift that eclipses any gift we've received in our life, it makes sense that we respond with gratitude and thanks. One way of doing that is to live for God, his way. We haven't truly got faith in this grace if we don't then want to live for him. We are created in Christ Jesus, so made spiritually alive through his resurrection to serve him. We help that person across the road. We speak well to people. We look out for those in need. We serve the church and those in it because we are made alive to do it. If you're not a Christian here today, just look at this text and see what we've read this morning and see just how amazing our God is. He brings those that have rejected him from death to life, even though we don't deserve it. This can be the same for you. There is no good you can do to please him. It's only by his grace that Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and we can share in that. In the ESV translation of the Bible, one very similar to the ones we're using today, slightly different word, and it says, verse 10, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. Doing good works is what a Christian does. This is how we are to walk. This is how we move forward now in our lives, now that we have been saved from death to life by God's grace. At the beginning of this talk, I asked, what is a Christian? A Christian is someone who is alive, who now has a relationship with God. A Christian is someone who doesn't deserve anything from God, yet through his amazing grace has brought him from being spiritually dead to alive in Christ. They understand this and now want to walk forward in their life, living for him through his grace, doing what God, who saved them, wants, because his grace is amazing. So let's go out into the world, serving him, living wholly for God, because by his grace we are saved from death and brought to life. Let me pray. Father God, thank you so much that we are saved through grace, even though we don't deserve it one bit. And please help us to fix our eyes on you and understand that it's any good in us, anything we do, is all from you, and not to feel prideful, not to boast and think we can do any of it ourselves, but to understand that it's all because of you. Amen.
Amen.